Sunday morning, very important study in the Word of God in regard to the church age and to the age in which we find ourselves. Jesus Christ giving a declaration, and in that we laid out the outline foundation of the passage where our Lord is speaking. And in this passage, He is talking about the greater, and we haven't defined this, but the greater works, which have not been defined yet. But in dealing with the greater works, all believers have the potential of doing the greater works, and there were five conditions, you'll recall, in regard to performing of the greater work. The one condition that flows through the entire passage, including the verse, but throughout the entire passage, is our faith. And then the second, this is living faith as a born-again believer. Then the second, you'll recall, because I, Jesus Christ, I go to the Father. Now, we haven't really studied this at all. We've just Sunday sent an outline. But his going to the Father is with a very important reason. It isn't just a matter that he's going to the Father, but we're going to study the function as he goes to the Father. And then the third, you'll recall, in doing greater works, we do not do greater works without faith. We do not do greater works without Christ at the right hand of God the Father. We do not do greater works. And the third one was our prayer. And the prayer that Jesus Christ is talking about is not prayer in general. This is prayer that is related to the greater works. And we'll come to that as we focus into our study. But very emphatic that we are not going to do the greater work without prayer and the understanding of that prayer. And then the fourth condition of the greater work is love. And this love, of course, is spiritual love. That is a love that is produced not by man, but by God the Holy Spirit, and can only be produced by God the Holy Spirit in a spiritual being for a spiritual reason. So the absolute necessity of love. And that shouldn't surprise us. This is the goal of every believer. And so often in God's Word where we find faith, we've already seen it in a number of passages, we find also love very close, because love is the greatest work of faith. And then the final condition upon which we are going to be able to do the greater works. We're not going to do greater works without faith. We're not going to do the greater works without Christ at the right hand of God the Father. We are not going to do the greater works without prayer. We are not going to do the greater works without love. And we are definitely not going to be able to do the greater work without the power and the person and the leading and the teaching of the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. And you put all of these together, as we're going to see, and you're on your way to doing the greater work. Now, one thing that is going to be so blatant and powerful in this study, two verses in this brief little section dealing with the conditions for doing the greater work, as we'll see where that fits in into the entire plan of God, and why we are able to do greater, not just greater in number, it is greater in another way, and these are the conditions of it. We are going to spend a deal of time right here in the area of prayer as it relates to the greater work. Sometimes people think they understand prayer because in the sense of uttering words or thoughts, anyone can do that. But as far as having it be answered, and as far as those prayers having an impact, very few can do that. But it's one of those kinds of things that anybody can open their mouth and think that they are praying, but in a matter of fact, they may not be praying at all. And so we're going to be taking a look. But we're going to press upon ourselves the absolute necessity, understanding of prayer. And we're going to move back into a power momentum of prayer, of power prayer. Power prayer being that prayer that I know God will answer. There are iffy prayers in life that maybe He will, maybe He won't, and we understand that. But there are prayers that we can pray, God will answer this prayer. And we're going to spend a few moments tonight, and I make no apology, and maybe just a little out of line every now and then we do it. We're going to take our time, some of our time tonight. We're going to have a prayer meeting right here, and give you an opportunity to pray silently and pray openly if you so desire. And I hope some of you will desire to pray. This is part of the entire plan of God, but it is so vital to this assembly fulfilling our greater work. And a lot has had to go into operation for us to be in a position to do the greater works, and we are in that position, and now we need to petition God in regard to our functioning together and able to fulfill the greater works that God has set before this assembly. So we're going to spend a few moments in prayer. I'm going to give you a few things to be in prayer openly, be in prayer silently about. First of all, I'm going to ask you to be in prayer. You want to jot some names down. Dolores Costello, Mike and Susan's mother. Now, she had a surgery, gallbladder operation, smooth, everything went fine, but in recovery, complications set in, and I'm talking serious complications. So we need to be in prayer for Dolores Costello. We need to be in prayer for her family. We need to be in prayer for the two families here, Mike and his family and Susan. Anytime our parents are in some type of torment or some type of adversity, that always puts us into another position as far as our thinking and energy. And so we need to be in prayer for Dolores Costello in regard to recovery from the operation. Some of you know Leanne Campbell. Leanne Campbell is Chris Racine's daughter, Leslie's sister, Lee and Larry's cousin. I mean, she's related to a lot of people around here. She lives in California. She had a major brain problem several years ago. It's cropping up again and could turn into something very serious. So we need to be in prayer for Leanne. Her mother is with her this week. So please be in prayer for Leanne Campbell and the doctors. So often it's one of those things that the doctors have to find some problem, and that is what's important here. So please be in prayer in regard to the doctors. Let's do not forget to be in prayer for Ron Henderson, and as he continues in that physical battle that he is in, and be in prayer for each other. I don't know, I'm sure that all of you here, all of us here, have areas of request of prayer. We've been studying the body. We're going to be doing some work on the body in doing the greater work, how important the body is in the plan of God. And we will be in prayer in regard to, so I want you to be in prayer in regard to each other. I have one other request in regard to the church, several here, but the various outreaches of our church under the concept of the greater works as far as our assembly is concerned, the Tate Ministry. I talked to our representative in Australia. Response is just going super, and they would love to have me come over there and speak, but they've been wanting that for a long time. But just be in prayer for the Tate outreach as far as it's going and our publications. And I got some bittersweet news today, and I'll get that to you so you can be in prayer with me. Hanna-Barbera, who I've been wrote a letter to and been working with in using Fred Flintstone, not only did they not just write a letter, but a higher person than Eve and I have been talking with called today. We had a long talk, and I appreciated the conversation, and I appreciate their position, but we're not going to be able to use the Fred Flintstone, and some of you, Judy and Lee, have done a lot of work, and I appreciate it, and we're still going to find out what God wants to do in regard to the character. I can, in my own mind, see the various stages. If that wasn't even sitting over there, we would not have pulled it out and developed the great program or publication as far as giving the gospel and the Christian life to children. Now what's going to happen, this is where you come into the show and the impact of the greater work, is to be in prayer, because we have several different people that have volunteered to draw a character for us. And it was interesting, the various mental work in my own prayer today after talking with the lady, that you know, it's the pictures aren't going to carry. It's the message. The message is what is going to carry this thing, not a picture on there. And so the message is what is powerful. And now it's just a matter of God directing and us being sensitive to finding the right person, finding the right figure, and getting it done so we can get this out. And I'm asking you to be in prayer that that will be done. It just, as I've told you so many times, everyone that we've talked with has been so impressed with it, and I'm going to bring that. I probably will give you just what we had in mind with the Fred Flintstone, though, but we're going to work now on another figure, and if you draw, or you know anyone who does, that would like to help, and we just need to come up with two other figures and get this thing done so we can move on in it. So it's a bittersweet thing, because there are those with the spiritual gift that are born-again believers. There's someone there that can draw us what we need and get this thing going. So we need your prayer in that respect. So these are the prayer requests that I have. Before we enter together before the throne of grace, are there any requests from the floor? Any of you have anything that you would like to bring up in prayer? Please remember to be in prayer for the group of believers in Victoria, in Houston, in Tucson, in Phoenix. Just a number of believers who are in constant prayer for you, as I told you Sunday. Constant prayer by names that they hear over the tape. They are in prayer. So please be in prayer for these believers. They are in the battle, and all of them are waiting on the gospel and the children thing we have. So I know it's going to be done. It's just going to have to be done according to God's plan and God's way. So just remember that. Any requests? Yes. Very important. Jeff Cox. And so please be in prayer for Leah and Jeff Cox. As far as the work is concerned, that's a major call. Betty Davis, financially, all right. Betty Davis and financial, her financial circumstances, which has a great spiritual impact on her in so many different ways. So please be in prayer, yes. All right, let's spend a few moments. Let's go to the throne of grace. That one of you started, I will close, and we'll get into the teaching and prayer. And I want you to understand, and I'm going to be doing more on this with you, but prayer is a vital part of doing the greater work. If we do not ask in relationship to the greater work, they're not just going to happen. There is a relationship between the greater works that glorify our Savior and our Father that are related to our request, so that we will know from whence they come, so that we will never lose track of why, and that we have to go to Him in prayer and constantly asking in prayer. Let's spend a few moments together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to assemble ourselves together. Pray, Father, that you will lead this assembly into the greater work that you have set before us. That we, Heavenly Father, will not be distracted nor faint at the attacks of the opposition of Satan and the powers of darkness. That, Heavenly Father, we know from Paul, writers of the New Testament, that it is so easy to grow weary, to faint, to withdraw faith, to have our faith shipwrecked, to in some way, any way, every way, Father, that he can think of, to withdraw from the battle. Withdraw, Heavenly Father, our faith in fulfilling the greater works that have been set before us. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have. We pray, Father, that you will continue to give us that encouragement, that strength, that comes through your word and through your spirit and through the body. Now, Father, we pray that God the Holy Spirit will lead us in the understanding of the passages we examined this evening. Pray, Father, you will protect us a few moments from the powers of darkness as we enter into the stage of the battle of opening your word. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. In the total plan of God, I had a wonderful night, Sunday night. As you know, I go over to Arlington on Sunday night. This last Sunday night, taught for 2.5 hours. A lot of that, an hour and a half of it, just the questions and opening up passages that I really had never even studied. But as we went through them, I'd love to spend the night going through with you a chapter that we studied and walked through, and some of the great truths that are there. But there's a procedure that God has from the book of Job, or Genesis if you please, but from the first book of the Bible all the way through. In other words, throughout all God's plan. Now, we're in the midst on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we're about finished with studying the three phases of the plan of God, and how there are, in God's word, three salvations. There are three states that go with the corresponding plan of God. And we're now going tonight to begin the third element of faith, the faith that's related to the third phase of the plan of God. But if we can get into our mind the way that God always functions with his creatures, and it sets the format for everything that we do in the plan of God. Drawing a line here, there's always God's plan in dealing with a creature. Here's the creature. And I'll tell you what, this is going to go into other areas, but we start off with the creature. And the creature, in this case, being mankind, and namely man as he finds himself in sin. And remember that in sin, you just have to appreciate the fact that it means to be alienated from God because you wanted to be independent of God. And this is what happened to man in the garden. This is what happened, this is the way we enter into the human race. This is what happens to believers when we decide at any point to be independent of God. God's plan is very simple in regard to the creature. First thing that must happen is the creature must acknowledge. The creature must acknowledge, and if you like the word, confess, but he must acknowledge, not so much to God as to himself. He must acknowledge that he is in that alienated state from God, that he is in sin, that he is separated from God, and that fellowship, that relationship is broken. And this is what Adam and Eve, and all through history. And it is amazing the number of times I told you in our study, we'll get back to it, hopefully if not next Wednesday, the next Tuesday. I've told you so many times that 1 John 1:9, dealing with where we have confessed the name, is a unique case, because in verse 8, they denied, they refused to acknowledge, they denied. And that set up the whole reason for verse 9. Verse 9 isn't just some thing that we pull out of text. It's because of verse 8. But there are so many people, when you start studying Scripture, who denied their position in sin. And this was David's great problem. If we did a study of David, and we will at some point, but David's great problem was he was in denial. When the priest Nathan came to him about Bathsheba, about her husband and how he had killed her husband, he recognized absolutely no wrong. And when it was pointed out to him, his state, that's when you get into a great Psalm of 51, and there are many other places in the Word of God where this is what has to be acknowledged. Then what happens is, this always takes the preacher, in this case man, this takes us into a repentance and a change of mind, and we spent enough time on it, a change of mind with regret. I am now aware of my alienated state from God. I am now aware of my position in being hostile to God and in my relationship with God. I am aware of it. The acknowledgement does not in any way change anything, nor does the repentance. But the acknowledgement allows us to know where we are. Then we come to the repentance, and this is where the mind comes in now. Alright, I acknowledge where I am. I understand where I am. Now, what is my attitude about where I am? And the Word of God tells us that we struggled by the Holy Spirit inside, and there is a repentant attitude about it, and this involves the mind, the changing of the thinking. We just simply say the change of mind, but the changing of the thinking with regret of where we are, and now comes the great issue. What am I going to do? And we have two different things that we can do now. At this point, this is the crucial point of the battle. Now, one thing that we can do is, I am going to do something about my alienated state before God, and I am going to do it myself. I am going to correct my alienated problem before God. And this is the heart and core of religion, of legalism, of misuse of the law, of so many things throughout the history. You come to that repentant point, and now you have to make up your mind, I do not want to be in this position. So repentance tells me where I want to move from. I want to move from that position. And so out of that repentance, then we go to in religion, and ritual, and whatever it may be, I can do something about it. I can do something. In fact, I must. It must come from me. I'm the one who's alienated myself from God. Therefore, to correct myself with God is going to have to come from me. So this is a very strong ending result of repentance. Or the other option is to rely totally on God, and therefore to rely by faith on the way that God has set up for me to come back to Him. We saw this in our study in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So it is by our faith that we are able, if we backtrack back up, to our original relationship and fellowship with God. So we have two different things that can happen at this point. And each of these points, you can get to the point of acknowledging or confessing, I don't care. I don't even care. And that will solve that. That will end that problem right there. Or you can now move into the repentant stage, and now you've got to say, okay, I have done this. I am so sorry I have done this, and I'm going to correct it myself. I must do something for God. And this is what religion is characterized by. Or you can go over here and I am going to trust God. I am going to trust God to do something about my position, because I'm aware of one thing, I can't do anything about it. And therefore, we put our faith in God. Now, people, this model that we have, and that faith, by the way, before I go on, that faith then is what God is looking for. God is looking for the believer or unbeliever. God is looking right here. This doesn't do it. This doesn't do it. What God is looking for is, what God is looking for are those who will trust me, and it is those that he will reach down and do something in regard to. Faith is the battle. Faith is the issue before God. And then our faith taps in and allows now, accesses ourselves now to God's power to bring us out of this state into a relationship with him. And this is the basic model that flows throughout all of the Word of God, from the garden all the way through. Whether we're talking about an unbeliever, whether we're talking about a believer, whether we're talking about a believer in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the tribulation, in the millennium. This is the way the process goes. Now, what we are looking at in our study are three areas of this very model. And we have already seen now that the word salvation is used, the Greek word and word group, the domain, all the words that deal with salvation or deliverance, we've seen is used in three ways. It is used, one, it is used for redemptive salvation, for, there's redemptive salvation for the unbeliever. And then we have seen that the same word is used for, this is for the unbeliever, the same word is used for the born-again believer being saved or delivered from sin through crisis in his life. And then the word, we have seen the word salvation or deliverance used for the believer after death, and so here we'll put A.D., after death, and the deliverance into the eternal state. And then we noted, after that study, we saw this word faith. And we noted that the word faith, there is a corresponding faith with this first salvation, this redemptive salvation, this eternal salvation that we have. And this salvation cannot be lost. That initial salvation, which is corresponding now with this initial faith in Jesus Christ, cannot be lost. It cannot be improved, neither the faith nor the salvation. But when you move into life as a believer, as far as this salvation, the deliverance as a believer, out of sin, through the crisis, through the suffering, through the adversity, whatever it may be, this can be lost. In fact, some may never gain it. And this has a corresponding faith. We call this, to make the distinction, living faith. This is a faith that is can be lost. This is the shipwreck faith, the withdrawing of faith that we read about in the New Testament by so many believers. This is why Paul says the battle is a battle of faith. And we have studied that. Now we're going to move into the faith as it relates to, this would be faith three, or faith as it relates to eternity. What I want to do tomorrow night, if I can get through this, I want to move now with a little haste to it. I spent most of my time in faith, living faith, because, people, this is where you and I live. This is where you and I battle in our homes, in the church, in our lives, day in and day out. This is where the casualties in the Christian life are, is that living faith. A faith that is so, that's under siege all the time. So we'll spend the night, maybe a little bit tomorrow night, since we have prayer meeting tonight, on this third category of faith. Then we're going to see that there is a righteousness that we have corresponding to this salvation, to this faith. There is a righteousness, boom, that we receive, cannot be lost. but there is a righteousness that you may or may not gain in your Christian life, and then there is a righteousness related to our eternal position in the resurrected body. So now let's go tonight to the third study, or the third phase of the plan of God, and that takes us into eternity. Takes us into our eternal estate after death. And so, Salvation 3, if you please, this is a deliverance into eternity, and there is a faith that is related with it as far as our life is concerned. And this faith that corresponds to that third salvation is oftentimes, though not every time, and I've got a few verses and we'll look at it, is oftentimes designated as hope. This one is oftentimes designated as hope, but it is a faith, as we're going to see, and sometimes it is even called faith, sometimes it is called hope. This faith is related to, just talking about it a moment, this faith is related to eternal security. This is a security faith. And often you'll run into people who do not believe in their eternal security. I always feel for these people. That must be a horrible way to have to go through life, not knowing for sure whether or not I am saved. And the problem is simply an absence and a lack of faith. It is a lack of trusting God. And we've already noted so many things. For an example, this salvation, this first salvation, and corresponding faith that went with it. This faith is directed toward the person that God sent, that is Jesus Christ, his work on the cross. Our salvation as born-again believers, the faith that is related to that is toward the one God sent, God the Holy Spirit. Now, this one, this hope, or as we're going to see, faith, related to our eternal state, is directed toward God the Father. You have it, and it is yours, and I'll show you these things. I'm just talking with you right now so you'll get a feel of the third area of the faith, of the plan of God, and the faith that goes with it. Now, this faith, this relying faith, this hope, is not, of course, what we mean in the English word for hope. This is a faith directed toward God the Father. So all three members of the Godhead are involved here. Our faith directed toward Jesus Christ accesses the power of God for our redemptive salvation. Our faith directed toward God the Holy Spirit accesses the power of God so that we can live the Christ-like life. Our faith directed toward God the Father gives us that hope, gives us that confidence as far as eternity is concerned. And that's a wonderful thing that God has given to us, is that direction of that hope, of that faith, as far as God's victory is concerned. And again, what's so ashamed and sorrowful is that many believers cannot see that they have this, and that it is theirs. And it's just a matter of as living in their Christian life, it's a matter of their faith. It just is a matter of entering the plan of God. It's a matter of their faith. And having this hope, it's a matter of our faith.